Yo, how's your day been?
Great, wonderful. You?
Mine's been amazing. Splendid.
Sick.
Welcome back to Imagination Creates. And لكل أصحاب المسلمين اللي بيسمعوا للبودكاست، كنت عايز أقول رمضان كريم، ورب رمضان ده يكون أحسن رمضان لنا كلنا، وفي بركة كتير فيه. I'm gonna translate that because not everyone speaks Arabic that's listening to this. I was saying, for all our Muslim listeners out there, Muslim friends, Ramadan Kareem, I'm a Muslim myself. I didn't say that in the Arabic part, but I'm a Muslim myself. Ramadan Kareem, I hope this Ramadan brings a lot of barakah and a lot of happiness and joy. So, yeah. I got a quick scenario for all y'all to imagine at home right now, listening to this. Imagine going the hospital, right? Getting your skull cut open to get a link or a chip implanted in your mind.
It's called Neuralink. Yeah.
You take it away. Tell them exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, so basically the point of Neuralink is a way to wirelessly connect AI to your brain. And it's as simple as you're gonna be able to connect it. Hypothetically, you'll be able to connect to your smartphone. You know, just anything that has AI in it. You'll be able to connect your mind to AI to AI is pretty much what it is. Founded by, we all know, Elon Musk.
One and only crazy man.
Founded in July.
When was it founded?
July 2016.
July 20. Ooh, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Well, what are your opinions about throwing a piece of technology in your mind? Not only doing that, but to have access to technology and other AI via the chip that was implanted in your mind.
Listen, obviously there's pros and cons to this. We'll get to this eventually, but if I speak for like mostly our people our age. If we can't go 1 hour without going on our phones, now I can, but I think a vast majority of a lot of us cannot. If we can't go 1 hour without having, you know, a smart device in front of us or whatever, what makes, you know, just society think that we should have that type of power put into our minds? Like, I think. If it ever comes to the day that you can distribute that type of technology to everybody and it's available to everybody, then I'm not sure it'd be very, I don't think it'd be taken to its fullest advantage if we give it to everybody. Obviously, it's very, very useful for people with conditions and stuff like that. But
honestly, I agree. Socially, I'm gonna start with this social problem, social aspect problem of this. Humans, according to research, already becoming more and more difficult for people to go from the texting world to the real world, right? If you throw a piece of AI, artificial intelligence program, into my mind or into anybody's mind, and now I could communicate people technically telepathically, Neuralink chip to Neuralink chip, without ever having to open my mouth, right? That would make speaking, even like social interaction face to face without like technology, use of Neuralink or use of your phone, more difficult as generations go on and on. Another thing to this is hacking, bro. Every piece of technology we've completely made, whether it be a computer to a smartphone device to your TV, bro, like to your Wi-Fi, my guy. There's people that are gonna find a way to get into the most encrypted things on the planet, right? And so even if this thing in my mind is heavily encrypted, what's stopping a person from accessing my mind or accessing my data through my mind,
right? And
without me having any clue, because now it's no longer your phone is freezing. So if it's in your mind, you're not gonna really be able to tell. It's not gonna be like my brain is freezing. No, your brain is not gonna freeze. So how would you be able to detect
what's really
hacked, and how would that affect stuff? Like, could they, like, if you have a Tesla and like you connect your mind to your Tesla and you're driving via your Tesla, could they like access your mind and all of a sudden you're crashing? Technically, you killed yourself with no trace because it's a chip. The chip is fried. It's done. There's no way for them to come back and see what just happened. You just totally got assassinated, and the person who got away with zero trace. if this thing has access to your credit card and debit card info and someone just pulls it off of you, you're not really going to remember someone pulling that stuff off of you until they start using it. If it goes to so far as they can control your body, like body movements and stuff like that, if they can do that, could they possibly control a random person, cause them to cause a murder? And would that make cases more complicated? Because if you have a Neuralink chip, it's like they don't know if it was you, someone controlling you, if hacking the chip is possible.
So it's mind manipulation, that's what it is. And we would never know if it's right or wrong. You know, if it's someone committing a crime or someone manipulating someone to do it, then we won't know. But I think if that ever is to be true, at that point we'll have technology that can trace such crimes, you know?
Yeah, but here's the thing. We know almost little to none about the brain. We know some things about the brain. But the brain is such a complicated organ. We know almost nothing about it. Yeah. If you're going to place something on the brain, that's like if I gave you like a catalog for something. Right. And I was like, I only know like 2 or 10% about this catalog, bro, about this object that I'm giving to you. Now I'm going to ask you to install something on it, but I'm not sure what exactly it's going to do or how is it going to perfectly affect it, because I only know so much about said organ. Right. I don't think that's a very good idea, because if you don't know everything about the brain and you implant the chip, what's going to happen? Now, honestly, they've already implanted it inside of a monkey. I don't know if you saw the headlines.
Yeah.
This monkey.
Can we, you know, did you see the full video? Yeah, you saw the full video, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the full video of the monkey. By the way, your voice is lagged for a minute, but I did see the full video, and what was happening was, so they gave this monkey, for everybody that hasn't watched it yet, they gave this monkey a joystick, right? And he was just doing simple activities with the joystick. And every single time he moved his cursor on this box, specific orange box, he got a banana smoothie. He was able to drink some of the banana smoothie, right? And then all of a sudden, he disconnected said cursor, right? And he had a Neuralink chip. Yeah, they unplugged the joy, the pad he was using, right, to move it, right? And all of a sudden, he was able to use his mind to move the box.
So it was
to move the cursor on the box. However, he had a disadvantage because they said the only reason technically he was able to do that is because he physically had the joystick, so his mind was thinking it was still working, so he was able to move it around. There was something physical for him to move around, so his mind was moving it, thinking it was actually moving via the joypad, right? How, if that wasn't there, the idea is Neuralink wants to get it to where you all have to do is just imagine said action. You don't have to have like a physical object to move it. You have to just imagine. I just imagine like, open my phone, text my best friend, yo, you want to go out? Just imagine that, and it goes into fruition.
It'll do
That's what they want to get it to.
I think that's the crazy part of it. I think that's the beginning part of it, but the potential that this has, I think a few months ago, let's talk about this. Just to wrap up this little part, this what basically is...
Wait, real quick, your voice sounds really like under the water, dude. Like, as if there's like a layer on your mic, like something's covering your mic.
All right, we're back. Technical difficulties.
Technical difficulty for a minute.
I hope it doesn't sound bad. Anyways, I was switching topics, or I was wrapping up what I was talking. I was wrapping up the whole monkey mind palm is what the video is called, and you were talking about it, right?
Yeah.
So basically the monkey does this thing with his mind to control the little Joy-Con thing, to his cursor, to the orange box, and he gets some smoothie. Eventually they unplug the thing, and then it turns into a habit to just move the Joy-Con, but in reality it's his mind that's controlling it. And yeah, and then I was going to talk about a few months ago, Elon Musk was saying, I don't think he said this precisely, but the idea of being able to log memories into your chip, and hypothetically you would log those memories and store them into your chip, and if you somehow knew you would die, that you die like in 6 years or whatever. I don't know how you know that, but
yeah, that's what I'm saying, is like, I don't even know, like, that's not even humanly possible for you to know when your time is to die. Even if you, like, let's say you have like cancer, even like a really bad disease, it's still impossible to know where you if you die or not.
Yeah, so basically what he was saying is you get the chip, right? And then the day you die or whatever, we take the chip out of you and then we put it into a new host, a new body. And I'm guessing this new host, this new body would go through such, in a sense, I feel like they would enslave this person into having no sense of what human life is, and then just raising the child, the baby, into a toddler, into a teen, into whatever age they want to bring in the new chip into. I suppose that they would have to bring this new host into such very strict training, to the point where the new host with its own body never remembers and never creates special memories. Somehow, this is why it's not possible, because if you were to do this, how are you going
that's
to make
unethical new... that's illegal, bro. Yeah. At that point that's
exactly.
not even like
exactly but how are you that's going a... to make the new host forget the whole idea about emotion, right?
Well, I mean, the idea of it technically, this sounds a lot like the game names called Soma that I used to play, or that I finished playing. But the kind of idea he's going at right now is, let's say me and I was to die, right? And let's say you had a child, or I had a wife and she was pregnant and she was having a child, right? They take my chip, throw it in this baby's mind, right? And because it's now thrown or into the new host's body, since it's thrown into this new host's body, their personality, because it's my brain technically just been completely transferred into their brain, they would experience my memories, or they would feel my memories and my emotions. So technically, it would be as if you were giving the person a different chance at life with their own, they would make new memories. So kind of like deja vu, they would make new memories, but it's with your emotions and your thought process. So like, it's kind of like deleting someone. But it's just, I don't even think it's possible, because like, you can't just rewire someone's brain to be someone else's brain. That
exactly.
sounds awfully impossible, because like, there's nothing called eternal life. As soon as you're dead, bro. There is no coming back.
Yeah, exactly. So here, I'm gonna say a few things. Hear me out on this one. So what I believe is our emotional reactions create memories, right? So the perception of a memory, it isn't by what's happening in our present moment, right? It's how we emotionally react to it. So let's say you show me a memory of me going on a swing, right, in a playground swing, going high up, and I could perceive it as something very exciting, as something very happy, exhilarating. And you show that memory to another human or another person, and they could remember it and feel it as something, you know, that was scary, or they were scared of the height or whatever. So basically it's our emotions back it up, right? So you see, I believe it's how we feel in the present that creates our memories, right? So
emotions, memories.
Hold up, memories hold, up, are... hold up, hold up. Your emotional response, whether it's fear, angerness, sorrow,
you said angerness, just saying.
Uh huh. Love, I did. Okay.
It's anger. It's anger.
So your emotional responses, whether it's fear, happiness, anger, sorrow, or love, your emotions are the truth, not what your mind says, but what your heart says, right? So it's pretty much, it's your emotional reaction that makes our memories so unique. So if you were to put, you can't put emotion into memories, right? And then put it into a new host. That's why it's simply not going to be possible ever. You simply, it's our souls, it's our emotions. It's putting in a bunch of memories into someone else and they could feel differently about it. It's not possible.
Yeah, it's not. I actually completely agree, because your memories are based off the emotion you felt
exactly.
by said like thing. So like you said in your example, let's say I got a soccer ball kicked at me, right? One kid's gonna think it's exhilarating. The other kid's gonna be like, oh my god, I'm gonna die, right? And there's just two different experiences. One you could kind of say traumatic with a soccer ball, and then the other is just, oh, I got hit with a soccer ball. That's so fun, right? So that's like two different perspectives on the same memory. So it's not really possible to transfer someone's memory to someone's memory. I'm sorry to interrupt this program or this podcast, but it's time for us to get into our sponsored segment. We'll be right back.
All right, we're back. So that first segment, basically the entire summary of that is, you know, the chip, what we think about it. And my point of view is that it simply wouldn't be possible to create eternal life with a chip because it is our emotional reactions that create the memories and what makes it so special and unique. So, and both of our opinions, it's not possible. What you think is what you not think. Possible. You think what you want to think. But we're going to move on to next.
This second segment, for all of you out there, the actual medical prowess or the medical advantage or the helpful part of this whole Neuralink for those people who don't or have horrible diseases that do something with the mind. So started off, I'm not going to summarize. I'm going to give like just a quick list, right? Technically, this Neuralink, like this chip, could help solve medical conditions such as paralysis, anxiety, addiction. There's a possibility for people with amnesia, if they record the memories or record the people around them, that the chip would just continuously remind them that, well, you saw this guy 10 minutes ago, that's your son, or that's your wife, or that's your... So they wouldn't be able to forget as much. Those are just... This is like the tip of the iceberg, kind of, with it. So, I want to start with paralysis.
That's pretty interesting. So what I saw was that... I think it was at the end of the monkey video. They said that the idea would be to have someone... For example, someone's paralyzed of, you know, their entire body. They can't even move their fingers. The point was that they were saying was the chip could in a sense connect through Bluetooth or something to your smartphone, and you wouldn't have to use your fingers to swipe and, you know, just use your phone. It would be the mind controlling and being connected to the phone, and whatever you want it to do, it'll do by the simplicity of what you think, your thoughts.
That's the crazy part, is because, dude, imagine being paralyzed and actually having a way to get out. My only problem with that is, when you're paralyzed and the leg, arm, or body part that hasn't been used in years, months, weeks, right? I'm gonna start with months and years. Let's imagine you've only been paralyzed for a week, you'd be fine. The muscles and like the tendons and everything there weaken. They start weakening. It's like if I put bread outside, right, or on my table, it's gonna get moldy, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody's eating it, there's no covering on it, there's no use of it, it's gonna get moldy. The foot or the leg or whatever part of the body it's paralyzed is put out, it's not used. Brain is no longer sending signals for it to be moved or anything, right? And so it like the muscle and the stuff starts to degrade more and more and more and just becomes kind of sort of unusable. What I'm thinking about, like the whole idea of getting people, is how would they do it? Because if the brain isn't already connecting to said arm or leg or part of the body, below waist or the whole body, what is the chip going to do to get the brain to connect there?
It's like something that has to do with the nervous system, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, and the nervous system, that's my other thing. The nervous system is so, so complex. It's so complex. Like, one wrong thing, completely screw it up. One right move, you completely kind of fix it. It just, or not even completely kind of fix it. You could, like, it's so intricate. It's like the hardware pretty much of humanity. And it's just like, it's so, so easy to mess it up, so easy. And it's more difficult to like fix it and stuff. So the idea is what would they like do? And then the second one, or I'm gonna go with addiction. Second one, addiction. I think that's the one that's most feasible. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm kind of more on the first one. I think paralysis and anything like, you know, like in like mental illness, I think those are the two biggest, mostly paralysis. I think that's huge.
I think addiction is more.
Because paralysis can't be, you know, typically if you're paralyzed, you're paralyzed. But if you got like a, you know, if you're in a bad place, that's really, really challenging to get out of. It's possible, but it's hard, but it's also not impossible.
Yeah, but right. I mean, I was saying like it's more possible for the AI.
Yeah.
I was saying like it's more possible for them to get the addiction part first, because addiction is pretty much when you take something. Let's say I'm doing cocaine. I don't do cocaine, by the way. I don't do cocaine. But let's say you're doing cocaine, right? And so your mind is sending the I can't even remember what it is. It's like this type of hormone that makes you happy. It's like the reward hormone. right? Dopamine. And every single time you do it, you get the reward hormone. So your body and your brain ends up wanting more and more and more. It gets used to it and needing more and more and more, right?
It's dopamine.
Dopamine.
It's not happy hormones. It's dopamine.
Yeah. It's dopamine, yeah. It's the reward hormone. And so whenever, let's say you put a chip in this person's mind, right? You can really, since the chip really has control kind of over the brain, you could control that signal.
Oh yeah, you could.
You can cause that person to no longer want said
here's
thing.
What
that's why I feel like it's the more possible section of it. Because you could just be like, what?
Here's what troubles me about that. If they were to make that happen, you would have to go through a process of rehab where you only focus on that. Because shifting back to the paralysis part, I can't, if the point of it is to make my mind think about making my legs move, then how am I supposed to live a regular life if I'm constantly thinking about trying to make my body parts move, right? Like, I don't think about that in my daily life. Like, for me, who, you and I, you know, we're cool, you know, we don't have any of that stuff, you know? But we don't have to think about our legs moving. We're just kind of doing it. So if they can somehow make it to where you unconsciously or unwillingly doing it, you're just kind of doing it, then that's great. Because if you have to
kind of like you have to code it at the beginning, so like when you code it,
I think that's what it's gonna be, a whole training process, a coding,
so that your brain gets used to it and the chip is like, okay, now I know this.
Kind of what they did in the video. Yeah, that's what they did in the video. Exactly.
So like they trained him first, they were like, okay, you have to do this, this, and this for the reward, and then they took the cursor out, they took the plug out, and
the monkey was only focused on that. It wasn't, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing though. I'd almost think of it as like kind of like sleep paralysis. You know, when you wake up in the middle of sleep paralysis and you're like, arm, move, come on, you can move, let's go, move fingers, move legs. I've had sleep paralysis, and so it's kind of like you're laying down, right? You wake up, your brain obviously is hallucinating or something because it's showing you scary stuff, right? And you want to move your arms and legs, but it's like they're not working. It's like you're paralyzed. It's the exact feeling of, I wouldn't say the exact feeling because I don't know what it feels like to be paralyzed, but it feels like you're paralyzed. Arms won't move, legs won't move, mouth won't open, eyes won't open, or the only thing that's working is your eyes. They're darting back and forth. You can only move your eyes. Nothing in your body is working. Not your vocal cords, not your mouth, not your jawline, nothing, right? Everything is shut down because you're technically still asleep, right? And then you start hallucinating and seeing things, right? And I think that's quite possibly the closest thing to it, is they'd be thinking so hard to move their arms and legs, because that's what I like, whenever you get in sleep paralysis, it's kind of what you think. You're like, move arm, move, because you're trying to get your body to move and it's not responding. So you literally start in your mind saying, come on, move. So like that would kind of be like, I'm imagining this how it would kind of be like, it'd start like with the training is like, take your arm, move. So the person would have to think about move, arm, move. And I think it would just be a really lengthy process for those people who actually have paralysis, because it's like relearning. Like, it's already difficult to learn how to walk as a baby. It's like relearning this process over again.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But if it's possible, then that's great, you know?
If it's possible, that's great. But I do want to say one thing. I don't think it's going to be possible for everyone, because sometimes it's beyond just like nerve damage.
It could be brain damage.
Sometimes it's brain damage, and then can't really fix that with like a chip, you know. So mental illness, what do you think it could do for mental illness? Would be powerful enough to rewire away a person?
It depends on the mental illness, right? So which one are you aiming more?
The specific one that I read about or saw was anxiety. Do you think it really could rewire the brain so much so that it could fix anxiety?
I mean, of course. I mean, anxiety is something that you can get over with, I don't want to say this like I'm being like, not like, genuinely, it's something that you can get over by yourself by simply just, you know,
in some cases, depending on how bad your anxiety is. Some people,
you know? I mean, if it's bad, then
some people need medication.
Sometime in the future, if someone were to have really, really severe anxiety, and sometime in the future that chip is available to anyone and they're willing to get it, then sure. But I mean, I just don't think I would want a chip inside me just because of anxiety. You either, I would say, learn to live with it or try to change it, something. But I just don't think a chip, you should go to that.
I just searched it up. There's
because there is, let's remember, there is a risk of cutting open your skull.
Don't forget. You're completely destroying it, yeah. There is three ways.
It's got to be opportunity cost. That's what it is.
Yeah, there's three ways treatments for anxiety disorder, right? There's self-care, which is like avoiding alcohol, reduce caffeine intake, physical exercise, quit smoking, relaxation techniques, stress management, healthy diets. There's therapies. This is another level, cognitive behavioral therapy, meditation, psychotherapy. And then there's medication, when it's like severe, because then you can have anxiety attacks multiple times. And that's when there's the SSRIs, and then there's anxiolytic, antidepressants, sedative, and nerve pain medication. So it depends really how bad you have said anxiety, because if it's really bad, then you're going to want to take something, right? You're usually going to take medication. And from what I know, from people that I've talked to, antidepressants and other medication like that, kind of like, from what I've heard, people don't like taking them because it kind of like drains your personality. It kind of makes you like a zombie. There's just completely like, it completely like, I don't even know what it is. Like, some people have told me it feels like the brain is being shut down. Like they're completely like a dead zombie. Like they're not feeling depressed or having any bad thoughts, but they're like a dead zombie. They're not enjoying anything either. So like that medication is very, I don't know. A lot of people that I've talked to just say they don't like it at all. Like they feel like it's more, it puts them at more of a disadvantage than an advantage from some people that I've talked to. And some people say it's really nice to have whenever they're having like really down days, when they're like down, like really bad, depression's really bad that day or something, or like they just need the medication to like help them out. Some people say that. And some people say it just makes them like a dead zombie. I don't have depression, so I wouldn't know. So I'm not going to speak on it as if I know. But that's from what I've heard from people that I've talked to. And so maybe if the chip could make it less, as in how some people say it makes them like a dead zombie, and less of that and like more of like you're still your normal person, but you're just not feeling that, like you're not getting the side effects of depression anymore, but like that part, the actual depressive part of depression, that would be perfect. Like I think that would help so many people on the planet if they could just like it's like taking the good part of the medication, putting it in, and taking the bad part, taking it out.
Listen, I feel like if I don't know, then. Because that's when depression is based off of what your mind is saying and negativity and all that stuff. And it's in a way, it's not really being a pessimist, but it's, you know, it's an actual mental illness. But I don't know, I feel like the chip isn't really like, I don't know, so you could so suddenly,
I don't know, because mental disorders
it can be a very sudden change in such an unnatural change.
Yeah, but mental disorders are such a wide thing, and it's like such a difficult thing to truly like autism, bro. They literally, like, they have no, like, people with autism, because I know most people with autism, their brain's perfectly healthy, operate like a perfect human. There is absolutely nothing wrong with them if they have autism, and there's no reason for them to have autism, but they have autism. And so like some mental illnesses are just like, what is going on? Like using a chip on something that like we completely haven't grasped, I don't think that's a good idea. To completely grasp the idea first and then use something is better. Because there's some mental illnesses out there that literally zero clue. Like science has zero explanation for it. Like we barely know anything about them, and we're still like researching more and more and learning more and more about them.
So let's see this. Disease prediction. I'm gonna read this. Imagine a disease-free future where you know what's going to happen to you before it happens, so you can prevent it with these devices. We'll be able to not just speak of electrical signals, but also pick up chemical cues in the brain and prevent diseases ahead of time. So basically knowing your fate.
Not even knowing your fate. That's like being, honestly, wouldn't that put like doctors out of business? Because then all you do, you don't need diagnostics. You just need, I need the cure, bro. Like, because then immediately it'd make everybody's brain like Neuralink is going to be like, bro, you're sick. You got to go take this medicine, or take these preventatives. Wouldn't that kind of just like deteriorate the whole idea of doctors? Every idea, like doctors would become scientists at that point, researching about diseases so that Neuralink could pick up on them more and more. Like, wouldn't that kind of like, I feel like it'll defeat the purpose of the doctor, because you go to a doctor, get diagnosed, then they give you. But if the Neuralink itself is diagnosing you, then you no longer need to go get diagnosed. All you need to do is go and grab the medicine, and then the Neuralink should like give you chips, actually give you the instructions.
Technology. So yeah, I mean, being able to know what your fate would be because of a chip, I don't know. This is obviously it's got this technology, this type of technology has its pros and cons, but it's something that I don't think humanity is ready for something like this. Right?
Yeah.
Like it's a great advancement. Do it, like work it, like this type of work should be done in silence. It's not something that I don't know. I feel like, you know, maybe they're getting too ahead of themselves, but it's great. Also, you know, it'd be crazy if Elon Musk used it on himself. So suppose that part where we're talking about like eternal life, which is absolutely not possible. Like if you really like deeply think about it, it's stupid. It's not possible.
It's like religiously not possible, physically not possible, scientifically not possible.
Entirely scientifically, emotionally not possible. Like it's just look. I read these books, but it's not possible. Okay, that's stupid. It's not happening. It's never happening. But
yeah, I don't think it's ever gonna happen.
But there's a difference between difference between knowledge and experience. You know, knowledge is nothing without experience. And if you were to somehow store Elon Musk's potential and past knowledge and give it to someone else, and you train that new host and you train them to do this and this with this type of knowledge, then that is potentially just an upgrade and a younger version of a brain like Elon Musk. I mean, obviously, he won't have that.
I don't think it will be. That's nowhere near eternal life, because it's no longer Elon Musk. At that point, you're just combining someone's intelligence with Elon Musk's intelligence. So it's like if you gave me resources to be more smarter, it's kind of like just giving someone a boost.
Yeah, you know, like kind of like if that's possible, then that would be kind of interesting. That would absolutely erase the whole teaching aspect. That'd be
honestly for me. I religiously, obviously, religiously, and then
it's not possible.
Religiously not possible. Scientifically not possible.
Scientifically, okay. Maybe that's not possible. That's stupid. But what if somehow this dude manages to make his knowledge expandable and make it grow onto
it's
other?
Kind of okay. At that point, I don't think it'll be eternal life. I think it'll just be like kind of like a library. It's like leaving a library of your intelligence that's very easy for other humans to access. So it's kind of like, I would imagine it more like this. Like you go into your mind, right, your Neuralink, and you're thinking about it, and like download Elon Musk intelligence file. And then you get his, all of a sudden, all his knowledge is going to be rushing into your brain. So it'll be very easy for more geniuses to be out there to fix bigger problems. That's kind of like, I think that's how it would work. It's kind of like downloading someone's library. Like, let's say they have Einstein's knowledge, like download Einstein library, download so-and-so library into your mind, and all of a sudden you have that knowledge and it becomes easier for you. But then that would defeat like the whole point of school, because I could just be like download medical library and all of a sudden I'm a surgeon at the highest degree
and then
any need think, for school.
I don't think the brain would be able to handle such an amount of like rush,
like an overload device,
right?
But anyway, we will have more episodes about Neuralink. Probably gonna have a guest next time.
Just stuff about in general about the mind, because it's a trippy thing. It's very
For all the creative minds out there, keep imagining, keep creating, and we'll see you on the next one.
Yep. See ya.